there is all kinds of things that farmers and ranchers are dealing with this year. And so unfortunately, while that may not be their primary focus, right now we really need to be planning for 2020. And so from a farm management side of things, which is your specialty, what can farmers be doing right now to prepare for 2020?
Well, I think some of the biggest challenges, of course, are going to be able to meet those financial obligations for 2019, and how well are you going to be able to work with your lender? I think it's really important to get in there and early and start working with your lender as to how we're going to come out of 2019. But at the same time, as you mentioned, we have to start planning for 2020, even though it's still December, and we still got corn out there in some places, soybeans out there and so forth that may not get harvested until spring, but we need to be planning now, and it's going to be a challenge, I think, for quite a few producers just from the standpoint financially. They're not going to be 100% sure where they're going to be out at when you got so much crop still out in the field for some producers.
So today your talk was really about crop budgeting, and that's something we can be doing all winter long. And so right now, you know, when we put in budgets, when we put in some of those projected prices, basis, what crops, you know, maybe are a little more appealing than others?
Which crop shows the least loss? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, it's surprising that, and it surprises me every year how many corn acres we have, but with the yields that we've been able to produce the last few years, corn, you know, not because of price, but because of yield potential, producers can still make some money on corn most years because we're just able to produce so many bushels. You know, a $3 corn or, you know, $3.20 or whatever it is today, you need 150 bushels to break even, but by golly, we've got a lot of producers that to be able to do that the last several years. And we were talking earlier about the corn crop that's out there now, and there's a lot of, even after it's dried down, there's going to be 170, 180 plus corn if it's not too light, you know, is the biggest concern. Soybeans, we still have a lot of people that will raise soybeans just because they're easy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just simple, easy. I mean, it's not too challenging to raise soybeans. And we've been pretty fortunate around here. We can raise, you know, good 40, 45 soybeans on almost a regular basis. I think this year we would have had maybe a lot of 45 to 50, 50 plus soybeans before the snowstorm came and took so many pods or beat so many plants to the ground that we couldn't get it harvested. But, we're still going to be soybeans and corn. I don't see producers changing a lot from that. I thought they would change in 2019, and they didn't. It was basically, you know, they got their two crop or maybe three crop rotation, and they're sticking with it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't give up on malting barley if you're willing to store. I mean, the thing is, you're probably going to have to store it if you're in a cash flow crunch. It's kind of tough to have that barley sitting out in the grain bin for a year, year and a half, sometimes 2 years. But with the amount of poor quality malting barley that was, I shouldn't say, I guess it's not malting barley because it didn't make the grade, but I know in this area we had a lot of sprouted barley and so forth, sprouting in the stand and so forth. So a lot of those malting contracts, you know, the barley didn't make the malting grade. So there may be some possibilities for malting barley if you can latch onto a contract, because we're able to produce some really, I mean, we're 80, 90, 100 bushel barley here is not a big deal. So, you know, if you can latch onto a contract for, you know, $4.50. Obviously, there's going to be limited access to those contracts, but some of those guys have been producing barley. I think that's still an option that's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Last winter, I kept telling everybody wheat. That come back to haunt me because that wheat market just is not, you know, and it doesn't look good down the road either. I mean, it just, you got to produce so many bushels, and even though we can produce, you know, 60, 65 bushels at, even at 4.5, it's really tough. It's tough to just even cover expenses. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, there is some demand right now for quality wheat because of the falling number and so forth. The millers are going to be desperate for some quality wheat. So there's some possibilities for the 2019 crop. Mm-hmm. Whether that's going to roll over and provide some opportunity in 2020, I don't know. It's hard to tell at this point, but maybe it will. Maybe it's all going to be so poor that there'll be some increase in price because of simple demand for quality in 2020. I guess that's something you can kind of keep your eyes open on. Mm-hmm. We had some people try canola, the Chinese and Canada canola battle, whatever that's all about, is taking about $3 off there. So even though the yields are good, you know, you need a little bit more than $13 a hundred weight or $13.55, I think it was yesterday. You just need a better market, plain and simple.
Yeah.
get up around $18 a hundredweight. Okay, now we can. We had more sunflowers this year than we've had in a long time. Unfortunately, Solstar beat the daylights out of them. Last year, though, and the year before, the people that raised sunflowers did really, really well with those. Really good yields, decent market, lower inputs. I think you'll see guys kind of step out a little bit and say, well, I'm going to try a little bit of something else just to find something else that might generate some profit.
Well, and another piece of the puzzle that is unique to this year, as you and I were talking beforehand, is those government payments are going to be a big factor on this year's spreadsheet.
Oh, definitely. You know, we were just talking earlier, the report I heard the other day that nationwide they're projecting net farm income for 2019 to actually be up about 10%, which kind of makes you scratch your head. But then they come back and clarify that by saying one-third of all net farm income in the United States is going to be government payments, whether it be MFP or crop insurance or farm program or whatever source that comes from. So, you know, we'll see what happens in 2020. I know there's been some changes to some of the crop insurance already. Are we going to have MFP again? I kind of doubt it myself, but not because we're going to have a trade agreement, just because I think the government's going to say, well, we did MFP and MFP 2.0, so that's as far as we're going to go. And maybe we're wrong. Maybe, you know, if the China trade deal drags out, maybe we'll have an MFP 3.0. Mm-hmm. Who knows?